They're not good enough to start. They're not even good enough to play. But they do talk a good game. So come join Lou and Jose from the sidelines, where all the best sports discussions happen anyway. Welcome in to the Bench Warmers Podcast.
Welcome into the program, everyone. I am Lou Ruggieri. That is Jose Ortiz. And this is the Bench Warmers Podcast. Wherever, whenever, and however you happen to be listening, we appreciate you taking some time out of your day, week, month, year to spend it with us. We are going to try to make it worth your while. Season 2, episode 36, our 86th show in totality. You can go listen to all of our previous shows, iHeartRadio, Amazon, Odyssey, Anchor, Google Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us along on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, at The Bench Warmers Podcast, at The BW Pod on Twitter. And please follow, rate, review. We need all the support we can get. This is the Super Wild Card Playoffs edition of the Bench Warmers Podcast, so it might be a little shorter than our normal shows because we have less games and they're more meaningful, or at least they're supposed to be. Some weren't really this week, but we'll get to that in just a second. A lot to talk about. All of the games we're going to go through, each and every one. It's still called the Extra Point, the segment we do. We go through each and every game. Obviously, for the playoffs, that's a given, but still worth mentioning. So let's just jump right into it. So normally, Jose, you and I, we kind of go in order and we go through the games kind of in a chronological basis. But I'm going to buck trend right now, and I want to just start because your San Francisco 49ers beat my Dallas Cowboys, and that leads me to my one big takeaway. I was watching the Matrix trilogy this weekend, and I started watching the new one. I didn't finish it yet, so no spoiler alerts, but my one big takeaway is something that Morpheus says to Niobe, I believe, Captain Niobe, Jada Pinkett Smith. He says, some things never change, and some things do. And that's my big takeaway, not just from this game, but from a lot of the games this week. It just, some things never change, and that leads me to my Dallas Cowboys. I'd like, if you have a takeaway from this week, I'll let you I start railing on the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, I want to give you the floor. My big takeaway is that the number seven seeds were not so worthy this year. I like that they expand the playoffs to make the regular season more exciting, but you look at the Eagles and the Steelers, they didn't belong in the playoffs this year, and it's kind of a shame that we had to watch those games. That's all.
Well, I was happy to see them. I don't particularly care for the Eagles or the Steelers, so it was kind of fun for me to watch them get routed. But I also had to watch my Dallas Cowboys, and I've been thinking about how to approach this because, I went through like all the emotions. It was anger, it was despair, it was grief, it was acceptance, it was more anger, and I wanna congratulate the Cowboys for getting a win this week. They did not beat the 49ers, but the Dallas Cowboys managed to beat the Dallas Cowboys, and that in my mind is going to count as a win. I don't even know where to begin. I mean clock management issues, this game, I would have rather have seen Dallas lose the way the Eagles lost or the Patriots lost or even the Cardinals lost, where it just, maybe not the Cardinals, but the other two, where it's like clear that one team is outmatched, and no matter what you did on that day, you were not going to beat them. The San Francisco 49ers did a lot to try to give Dallas this game. Jimmy Garoppolo did what he does, and he gave the ball away in a very, very unfortunate fashion for the 49ers. And they tried to give this game back to Dallas, and Dallas was just not having it. They were just not doing it. And I asked you before this game who was going to be a bigger liability, Jimmy Garoppolo or Ezekiel Elliott. Zeke had 12 carries for 31 yards. He'll be making $10 million next year. Dak Prescott went 23 of 43 for 254 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. I believe he'll make something in the area of $40 million next year. Jimmy G had a Jimmy G-type game, 16 of 25, 172 yards, and one interception. Meanwhile, the best player in the world, apparently, is Deebo Samuel. He is unstoppable, and he beat the Cowboys. I mean, the Cowboys beat the Cowboys, but if you had to pick a player on the 49ers that helped beat the Dallas Cowboys, it was easily Deebo Samuel, and it wasn't particularly close.
So I have to say that you're much easier on the Cowboys than I really expected. When the whole thing happened, I was like, I don't even want to text Lou right now. I don't know what to say to him. He's obviously really hurt by this. I wanted to be excited, but at the same time, you're my best friend. I was like, this sucks because Yeah, like nothing that I said last week changes, right? The Cowboys are still better than the 49ers on paper. I don't care what the game said. But what did I say that this game was going to come down to? I said the two biggest advantages the 49ers had were execution of plays and coaching.
Yep.
And my goodness, were those two things on display during this game. You know, Dak didn't play a great game. The one on the Cowboys really played a great game, to be honest with you, offense or defense.
That's true.
But I put this loss at the feet of Mike McCarthy, and I am not a person who calls for coaches' jobs because I don't like doing that, but he's got to go. I mean, that there were so many – like, Jimmy Garoppolo is clearly not a good quarterback, and yet – Kyle Shanahan finds a way to put him in positions to look good at times. He gets his players in space. He gets his players in positions where they can make moves and use their strength. Innovative plays. And you look at the Cowboys and the plays that they're rolling out. And it's like, I don't even know. Like, I don't have a word for it. It's just non-imaginative, predictable, really just, hey, our guys are bigger than your guys. We're just going to run straight down the middle. Like, it's just really surprising given the skill sets that the Cowboys have with CeeDee Lamb, with Amari Cooper, with Tony Pollard, with Ezekiel Elliott, with Dak Prescott. They have three all-pro linemen this year, or two all-pro linemen. Like, they should be able to do so many different things on offense, and they don't. And yeah, you could point to Dak Prescott and say, hey, he didn't play great. He didn't play great. I've admitted on the show that he's a good quarterback, not a great quarterback. He needs a Kyle Shanahan to come in and make him a great quarterback. That's the issue. You know, maybe Patrick Mahomes is just a good quarterback, but then you add Andy Reid, and now he's a great quarterback. And that's what coaching does. And that's not what the Cowboys are doing. And then, yes, of course, what was it, 14 penalties? I mean, I don't even...
14 accepted penalties.
Yeah,
14 accepted penalties.
You know, it's just like, what are you... like? How are you supposed to win? There were so many times where it was first and 10 or something like that, and then there's a holding penalty. Now it's first and 20. Well, now your offense is screwed. Or giving the 49ers a free first down, putting them in good field position. It's just countless, countless times. Not to say the 49ers didn't do their best to try and give the game back to the Cowboys in the fourth quarter when Jimmy Garbage started throwing, you know, interceptions and doing all sorts of different stuff. You know, and then... the last play, I don't know how you call that play. If you're a coach and you're not playing Madden, right? You're not playing a game of Madden. How on earth do you call that play? I get that the referee got in the way. And you literally would have to do everything perfectly for you to have 1 second left. There's just no margin for error there. I think they would have been better off just trying to do another sideline pass and just throwing deep and trying to Hail Mary.
Yeah, I mean, a couple things with that play. I mean, leading up to that play, I'll get to that in a second. But just the one thing you said, I mean, we talked about coaching and the disparity between coaches. Because I think on paper, the Cowboys do have a better roster offensively and defensively. I think the ceiling of individual players that the 49ers have are higher. I think Debo's ceiling is almost limitless. I think Nick Bosa's ceiling is almost limitless on defense. You know, and the Cowboys have more good players, but not on Sunday they didn't.
No,
and Nick Bosa was out of the game and basically in the entire second half. And the Cowboys somehow, through all of their offensive acumen, I think they scored 500 points this season. They scored 7 points through three quarters. I mean, that's pathetic.
Yeah.
You know, CeeDee Lamb is by far and away your best offensive player, and he has one catch for 21 yards. How do you not scheme to get him the ball? Look what they were doing with Debo Samuel. Not saying, I mean, I think Debo's
It's a fair comparison, though. I'm not to cut you off. It's a fair comparison.
And so that it just drove me crazy. I just kept waiting for either, you know, somebody like Tony Pollard or CeeDee Lamb, where, you know, Amari Cooper had an okay game, I guess, but they just I don't know what the plan was. It just, and that last play kind of epitomized that thinking in totality. Like, that, if that's the play you're going to call, you know, as Mike McCarthy, that you have some clock management issues on your resume, or someone should know that. And if you're Dak Prescott and that's the play, the only thing you need to do is make sure that everyone on that roster, on that offensive unit on the field, knows that as soon as my butt hits the ground, everyone better be sprinting up and get down because we have no time. And not only so, that didn't happen. And then the center tried to spot the ball himself and tried to cheat, which took an extra second out because the ref not only had to butt through the offensive line because he should have been handed the ball in the first place, but then he had to re-spot the ball to the correct placement, which took another half full second, which is what that was the end of the game. And then all else, the last thing I'm going to say is the replay that was on NFL Game Pass, the only replay that was available for this that I watched was the I can't even use the adjective I want because it's a family show, but it was the Nickelodeon broadcast with Nate Burleson and a bunch of other extra high energy graphics and slime and everyone just yelling like they're on like SpongeBob or something. It just made it so much more nauseating because every score they're shooting these slime graphics on the screen and oh my God, this was the worst game I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, two last things, and we'll move on to the other games. I don't want to keep rubbing this in on you, but you know, I was disappointed that Stephen Jones already came out and said that Mike McCarthy is the head coach next year. I don't know if you saw that already, that he basically backed him, and it's like, not only the lack of discipline, not only the stupid play call at the end, and not only the lack of innovative play calls throughout the game, and honestly, throughout the season, really, this was kind of the Cowboys we would see, and then they would get hot like for a quarter, and then it would be, oh, well, they have 30 points, and then you'd kind of move on. But it just to back him so quickly, this Cowboys team is not seeing it reaching its potential, and I think it's because of the coaching. It's not because Dak, it's not because Zeke, it's not because of our – if you put Kyle Shanahan behind calling the plays there, there's no way that that offense is limited the way they are right now. And they need to get younger at the coaching or more innovative. The other thing I'll say, and I don't want to bail the Cowboys out, I think there needs to be some sort of rule change or something where maybe there's a referee just kind of waiting on the sidelines downfield for that specific reason, right? Like, it was kind of unfortunate that it ended that way. I know that you can blame the Cowboys for slide, you know, Dak should have gotten down a second earlier. Everyone should have been in place, but man, it kind of like weird. Like the referee is like 30 yards down the field. He's not a professional athlete. He's not going to get down there that quickly. And it just kind of felt like there should have been someone else there to do that. Might be something to look into.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. But I mean, you know, you've said it, I've said it before. Like, you can't put yourself in a position to let the referees win or lose the game for you. And that's exactly what they did. And I'll say this in finality, and this is why I rail on the Cowboys and I rail on Dak Prescott and I've railed on them for years and that's also why I'm not that angry, because I knew I just knew it was going to happen. This is what the Cowboys do. This is the first time that San Francisco has won on the road at Dallas in the playoffs in history. And it's not even remotely surprising. It's just that they have the talent and they just cannot put it together in the biggest spotlights. It's over and over and over again. This is now, 11 straight years that they've not advanced in the playoffs. I mean, it's
been a while. Zach's first year they advanced one game.
Or they haven't made the conference championship in 11 years, something like that. But it's same old story. Like I said, some things never change. And this is, unfortunately, you know, it's been 25, 26, was it going to be 27 years now of just misery. So thanks for nothing, Dallas. Appreciate it. All right, let's put that to rest, hopefully. And by the way, Stephen Jones said that Mike McCarthy's staying. Jerry Jones did not. So.
Oh, fair enough.
Just keep that in mind. All right, so let's move on. Couple more games. We're going to do two more games. We'll take a break. We'll come back to the other three. So let's go jump back to the Saturday games. I have a lot less to say about these. The Raiders losing to the Bengals 26-19. The Raiders put up a fight. I give them credit. They earned this playoff spot. They were not really in a position to really compete with the Bengals. The Bengals, you know, Joe Burrow the spotlight, you know, we talk about, I just talk about Dallas, you know, kind of shrinking in the spotlight. Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase are not afraid of the spotlight. They look like they were ready and they were just playing kind of carefree. Like, hey, we're playing with house money, man. Whatever. Let's just go there. It's like they're too young to know any better. And they just went out there and just started slinging it. And it showed. And they look like they were having fun. And this team is going to be dangerous.
Yeah, I think Joe Burrow is kind of stating his case to be in that top 10 quarterback discussion that you and I always talk about in the offseason. I can't wait to get back to it this offseason. But, you know, Ja'Marr Chase trying to be in the top 5 wide receiver discussion, too. I mean, he's just great. Congratulations to the Bengals getting the first playoff win in 31 years. The team has really impressed me this entire season. They've really shown a lot of growth. We've seen them kind of grow up in front of our eyes. And I mean, I don't want to give away my pick. I kind of feel like we're going to see this team possibly in the AFC championship game, just based on the talent they have on the field. The Raiders, this is what we expected, right? I did pick the Raiders to make it closer. I lost the spread by like 2 points there, but it was a decent season for them considering everything. It's interesting because I'm looking at the Bengals. I'm like, yeah, this team, the future is bright. They're just going to keep getting better and better. I kind of look at the Raiders as the opposite, where it's like, I don't see a path for them improving. I don't know what they're going to do in free agency or the draft, but man, if I were them, I'd really, really be thinking about trading Derek Carr while he still has some value. I can't imagine anyone in their front office thinks that they actually have a chance to do anything next season or the year after that. So you may as well just try and get what you can, but congrats to the Bengals. They took care of business. I'm really loving the young quarterback setup that we have in the AFC with Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert, looking like we're going to get some nice rivalries for the next 10 years.
Yeah, the Raiders, I'm not sure that I totally agree, because the Raiders they have a good quarterback, they have a good running back, and they have a borderline great tight end. I mean, not so much this season because he was hurt for a lot of it, but Darren Waller is... Yeah, at his best is maybe a top 3 tight end. So they're missing a wide receiver. Now, you know, Henry Ruggs wasn't necessarily that guy when he was playing. And now that he's incarcerated, he's certainly not going to be that guy for the Raiders. But I feel like they're teetering on the verge of one way or the other. Like they're either going to have to rebuild and do exactly what you just said. Just get what you can. You can get, you know, a first round pick for Darren Waller, you can get 2 first-round picks Derek Carr, maybe. Whatever it is. But for the right team, they might pay that price if they think he's good enough. But they could also keep those guys, maybe improve in coaching, improve their defense, and get a good receiver in the draft. And when we just saw it with Ja'Marr Chase and the Bengals, I mean, you can do it in a year. So it's possible. I'm curious to see what they do in the offseason.
Would be nice for them to go all in too. There is that opportunity, right? Go all in, give your team one more year to kind of see what you can do.
Yeah, and a team that took care of business as well is the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo Bills just put a beat down on the New England Patriots, 47-17, and this game I would have paid money because at halftime the score was 27-3. In favor of the Bills. And I would have paid exorbitant amount of money to know at that moment what Tom Brady was saying in private. just because Tom Brady being who he is, I would love to see what he had to say. But the Bills, Josh Allen just went off. 21 of 25, 308 yards, 5 touchdowns. He also had 6 carries for 66 yards. He was a man on a mission. They could not be stopped. Devin Singletary, again, when Buffalo rushes the ball well, they win, and they win big. Devin Singletary didn't even have a great game, but he had 16 carries for 81 yards, which keeps the defense honest. And, you know, Mac Jones, he had what you kind of expect from a rookie. He's still a rookie, you know, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. And New England couldn't really run the ball against this defense. And this game was pretty much over by halftime.
Yeah, I thought the game was over. Yeah, basically, like you said, middle of the second quarter, like, this game is done. I think the Patriots were slightly overrated because of that 7-game win streak they went on in the middle of the season. They beat the Titans, they beat the Bills, they beat the Chargers during that stretch, and it was kind of like, oh, here's Bill Belichick figuring it out. But at the end of the day, I think that this is a good young team. They're just wasn't ready for this level of competition. This is not an offense that scares you. Even on defense, they're good, but they're not, you know, they're not completely unbeatable as we saw with the score. This is it's good year for the Patriots. I expect them to get better next season. And we started off this year talking about statement wins, what a statement victory was. Boy, is this a statement. I mean, you come out, you knock out your big brother who's been just owning you for the last, 15 years or something like that. Came out and they honestly look like the best team in the NFL this past weekend. I'm not saying that I think they are, but that's how good they looked. I mean, they gave up 89 rushing yards total, got 2 turnovers and 3 sacks. Like, they were all over the field on defense, unstoppable on offense. It's going to be a very, very tough team to beat when they have everything rolling. Strong, strong performance by the Bills. Very impressive.
The only thing I hope for the Bills is that they didn't kind of expend all their energy just beating the Patriots, because the way they're celebrating, and I get it, you know, the Patriots have been kind of their, you know, their big brother beating them down year after year for how long now. And the Bills look like, I mean, they deserve the celebration they had, but I hope that they don't forget that they still have to go to Kansas City next week. And I hope that there's not kind of that emotional letdown where they sort of forget, like, oh crap, you know, we beat them. It's almost like when the Red Sox finally beat the Yankees in the 03, you know, series. It felt like that was the World Series. And then it was like, oh wait, no, the Red Sox still have to go play the Cardinals. And you know, they took care of them pretty easily. But it just, I'm hoping that the Bills don't forget that they still have a couple more games that they have to keep performing at this level to win.
I don't think they're going to forget, because the Chiefs have kind of had their number a little bit too in recent years as well. So I think they'll be ready, and it won't be sub-zero temperatures there either. So I don't think anyway.
It might be. Maybe Kansas City's pretty cold.
Yeah, I just realized after I said it, like, Kansas City's not Florida, so yeah, it might be.
But all right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We have 3 more games to get to, and we have picks to make for next week. So without further ado, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back. On the Benchwarmers podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Benchwarmers podcast. Follow along with us on the Benchwarmers podcast on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to review us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome back to the Benchwarmers podcast, where being all talk is actually a good thing. Now back to the action, or talk, I guess.
Welcome back to the program, everyone. I am still Lou Ruggieri. That is still Jose Ortiz. And this is still the Benchwarmers podcast, already in progress. Go and listen to the early part of the show, iHeartRadio, Amazon, Odyssey, Anchor, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just went through a couple games from the wild card, super wild card weekend. I don't think the super is necessary, but everyone keeps using it, so that's what we have to do. 49ers beating my Cowboys in what was not a surprise to me. Bengals beating the Raiders, not surprising, and Bills just walloping, boat racing the Patriots. A little surprising, but not extremely. And now, speaking of getting beat up, let's just kind of cruise through these next three games. I mean, none of these games were particularly close. The Eagles lost down. I mean, I think at one point they were down 31-0 to the Buccaneers. I mean, this looked, even without Antonio Brown, even without Chris Godwin, I mean, Tom Brady just went to town on the Eagles. And it's nice to see Gronkowski kind of get back in the swing of things. Mike Evans proving. I almost felt like watching Brady throwing to Mike Evans, it almost made it easier for Tom, because he didn't have to spread the ball around as much. It was just kind of like, yeah, no, it's Mike Evans. There's nobody else. I'm really, you know, you look at Gronk, then you look back to Mike Evans, and whoever's open, that's who's getting the ball. It's just, it almost seemed like it was easier because he had less options to kind of keep happy.
I think it was easier because the Eagles aren't that good.
Also,
I think I saw a stat they were 0-6 against playoff teams this regular season. It's just when I was ready to buy into Jalen Hurts, literally a week earlier, I said, you know, decent season. I'm moving on. I think he's worthy of at least a spot in the NFL. And I hate for one game to really change my opinion, but man, did he look terrible, and the entire offense looked terrible. So I mean, he completed 53% of his passes, just 15 points, and those 15 were really garbage time points. I feel like Tampa Bay was barely tested in the game. Brady looked good, but it's hard to really draw any conclusions about how good they looked, because the Eagles were just it was basically play the, couldn't play the high school football team out there. It was really just bad. They didn't really put up any resistance. It was whatever the Buccaneers wanted to do. That's what they did. Fourth quarter, all right, fine, we'll get you some points. And then that was it. It was really a bad game.
Yeah, I mean, this was a bad matchup for the Eagles to begin with, because the Eagles are a run-heavy team, and the Bucs, for most of the year, have been the best run defense in the league. So this was not setting itself up very well. And, you know, and Jalen Hurts, you know, he played like a rookie. You know, he was not ready for this level of competition, and neither was the rest of the team, honestly. I mean,
yeah.
Dallas Goedert had an okay game. I mean, Devontae Smith had a couple catches where I kind of felt like something happened. You know, it looked like he was getting better. And then was it Mike Edwards, I think, had the interception in front
right
of
the end zone.
Devontae's right at the end zone. That was one of the best interceptions I've ever seen. I was like, wow, out loud. I was like, wow, that was crazy. And
you must have loved that Micah Hyde interception then the Bills crazy. Against. Yeah. Yeah.
And I will say, you know, without Le'Veon Bell, without Thomas Jones, or not Thomas Ronald Jones, Thomas Jones. Ronald Jones, Thomas Jones, geez, old Bears. You know, it's Keyshawn Vaughn looked pretty good. You know, he was enough. You know, they didn't really run the ball very much, the Bucs, but they didn't really have to either. So the Bucs just kind of cruised through. I felt like this was kind of a get-right game for the Bucs. And the Eagles just, you know, they got in because there were seven teams and not six. So that's really all you can say about that.
Yep.
Another team that got in basically because of the seven-team playoff was the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger's last game, presumably, in the NFL. Just a beatdown by the Kansas City Chiefs. And this game started off kind of funky. There's a lot of punts, and T.J. Watt returned a touchdown. It was, you know, the Steelers were up 7-0, and you kind of felt like, I wonder what's going on here. And then the Chiefs, just like they used to do, vintage Chiefs, they turned it on, and they stepped on the gas and never looked back, and they scored 5 touchdowns, I think, in a matter of about 11 minutes. Yeah. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, just the game of the life. He had 404 yards, 5 touchdowns, which is, I think that's his fourth 405 game of his career, which is the most all-time.
Wow. Like year 5.
And the guy that surprised me the most on this team was a former 49er, former Minnesota Viking, Jerick McKinnon, kind of showing up finally after how many years of kind of ambiguity, and really made a pretty big impact for Kansas City Chiefs. He had 6 receptions for 81 yards, and he rushed 12 times for 61 yards. I mean, if they can get that sort of production from that position, whether it's Clyde Edwards-Helaire if he comes back, or stick with Jerick McKinnon, or the combination of the two, I mean, this team just gets, that's like one more layer of dangerous that this team has, and it's not gonna bode well for Buffalo next week.
Yeah, and the Jerick McKinnon thing, I'm glad you brought that up. It's amazing what happens when your play callers put their players in position to make plays. Like, Jerick McKinnon was in open space. He was getting the ball in positions where he could, you know, he's not a traditional between the tackles runner. He's a guy who needs the ball in space, and they were doing things to get him in space, throwing the ball, getting them some pitches outside. Andy Reid's such a great play caller, probably a top 5 play caller in the NFL right now. And just, you could see it. And obviously we knew that this was going to happen. The Steelers didn't belong in this game. You know, I want to take a moment to appreciate Ben Roethlisberger, the quarter of the career he had. I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer or not, but I guess he is based on. I never looked at him as a top 5 quarterback. And if I've never looked at you as a top 5 quarterback at any point in your entire career, I just don't. It's like hard for me to say, oh, you're definitely in. Obviously, if Eli Manning's in, I guess he's in. Like, you know, him, Eli Manning, Phillip Rivers, that class, I guess they all go in. But I never looked at Ben Roethlisberger as a great quarterback. I looked at him as a good quarterback, a good, solid NFL quarterback, which, and there's nothing wrong with that. And you look at his career numbers, he had some very good seasons, was pretty consistent. But it never at any point that I was like, oh, well, Ben Roethlisberger, top 5 quarterback. That never, ever entered my brain or even close. So I do want to appreciate his career, though. He was, you know, two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback. He had 60,000-plus passing yards and had a pretty long career. So I don't know what the Steelers do from here, because, man, that, you see how hard it is to find a good quarterback. But you know, at least it was at least he went out in the playoffs. Not exactly the way he wanted to go out, but at least he went out in the playoffs.
Yeah, Ben Roethlisberger, by the way, he's fifth in NFL history in completions. He's eighth in attempts. He's sixth in yards per attempt. He's the sixth most games played by any quarterback. And his 246 games started is third in league history, not to mention the two Super Bowls. The first one you can kind of shrug off, but the second one, I mean, he had arguably the best or second best catch, you know, past catch in Super Bowl history. I mean, that drive alone is enough to, you know, the Hall of Fame. It's not the Hall of, I mean, even if it was just the Hall of Stats, he's got enough stats to do it. But the Hall of Fame, that right there kind of put him on.
I feel like since there was debate about Eli Manning, it's kind of the same thing to me. I feel like they're the
Ben's
same
regular season numbers just destroy Eli's. I mean,
do they? I wasn't sure.
And wins,
I wasn't sure, I mean, off the top of my head. We're gonna have to vet this because I think that Eli Manning maybe wins, but wins, that's a team thing, you know. That's not a quarterback thing. They both have the same amount of Super Bowls. They're probably, so Eli Manning, 4-time Pro Bowler, has 57,000 yards. Let's look at Ben Roethlisberger. Really quickly pull him up here because I know he has more yards. I don't think it's like, you know, I think he also played a little longer. I don't think it's so in favor. Okay, no, fair enough. He has 6-time Pro Bowler, so 2 more Pro Bowls and basically 5,000, what is that? Not 5,000 more yards. Yep, 7,000 more yards. So, you know, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, career records.
I think it's close.
Career records, Manning has, he's 117 and 117. Ben Roethlisberger is 144, 77, and 1. Yeah. So, you know, we'll go through more of it as time goes on. But I think Ben Roethlisberger clear easily.
Has stronger qualifications, you're saying.
First ballot, yeah. Okay. I don't think it's particularly close.
Interesting, okay.
Another guy that is going to be up for the Hall of Fame, and it's going to be debatable, especially maybe depending on how this season goes, because I think this could be a make or break, or at least the next couple of years. Matt Stafford and the Los Angeles Rams. This was another kind of beatdown game. And I don't know, you know, I was struggling with this game. I think it was as much the Rams playing well as it was the Cardinals just playing horrifically. And this game, Kyler Murray did not look, he looked like a rookie out there. I mean, he had the kind of careless toss in the end zone to try to avoid the safety, which ended up getting returned for a touchdown. It was just ridiculous. I mean, the other interception he had was not good. He didn't really run the ball. I mean, the team as in totality didn't really run the ball that much. And by the time they tried to, it was already too late. They were down big. They were down 21 points at halftime. It felt like Arizona just didn't show up. And, you know, we know that they've lost, what, 4 of their last 5 in the regular season. Mm-hmm. And this just, it felt like they just, they were not even on the field.
Yeah, and I'm starting to reevaluate my opinion of Kyler Murray as a quarterback. This offseason, I think you and I had him, we had him as a top 10, close to top 5 guy. And I have to reevaluate that because, you know, you're not, yeah, when he had DeAndre Hopkins out there, he looked much better, and I get it. You know, you don't replace DeAndre Hopkins, but he hasn't looked good for quite some time this season. It's been a while since he looked good, and you could go back to the injury, but then the same thing happened last year. So then you have to ask the question, can he actually hold up through the course of an entire regular season and then into the postseason to really have you go far? It's not really much analysis in this game. We knew that the Rams were better. I thought the only chance that the Cardinals had was to run. They didn't do that. And here we are. The Rams are just a much better and more complete team, especially if you take away DeAndre Hopkins. The rest of the weapons on the team are like number 3 and number 4 wide receivers. They're not really starting wide receivers. And even the running backs, so between James Conner and Chase Edmonds, I mean, they're okay. They're not great, you know, and so it just, there's not really a lot of scary playmakers on that team. You thought Kyler was one of those, but you haven't really seen that so much in the second half of the season again.
Yeah, and what I really liked that Sean McVay did in this game, is that they didn't put all the pressure on Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford only had 17 passing attempts. He was 13 of 17, which is incredible. He had two touchdowns for 202 yards. But he also, they ran the ball and they kept running the ball and they split the carries almost down the middle. Sony Michel had 13 carries for 58 yards. Cam Akers, who, by the way, must be part superhero because he came back from what, an ACL?
Torn Achilles.
Achilles, yeah, Achilles in the offseason last year. Yep. So he, record timing coming back. He had 17 carries for 55 yards and he was running like a man possessed. And it just, it was a balanced attack and the run set up the pass and Matt Stafford made the most of it. You know, Odell Beckham made a pass that was pretty good. I mean, he had a couple catches and a touchdown that looked, you know, he looked like he was getting involved. And Cooper Kupp, I mean, the best wide receiver in the league, really was kind of marginally involved. I mean, he had 5 receptions for 61 yards and a touchdown, but you know, for him, that's a pretty subpar game for the most part.
And yeah, the Cardinals didn't force him to do anything. It was kind of like, well, we don't really have to actually try to beat you. It was really a pathetic performance by the Cardinals.
Yeah, and at one point, I think it was towards the end of the third quarter, and I remember I was asking myself, I was like, why is Cooper Kupp and Matt Stafford still in this game? Why are you even wasting your time? Like, this team clearly has no interest. They don't, you could just tell, the coaching, they were out-coached, they were outclassed, they were out-defended, and they didn't belong on the field, in the same field as the Rams. And this is a team that was 7-0 at one point, and we thought were possibly the best team in the league. And they've just – I don't understand why Kyler Murray – you know, maybe he was hurt or something, but I was expecting him to use his legs to kind of offset some of the defensive aggressiveness that the Rams were going to throw at him, and it just never happened. He had 2 carries for 6 yards. I mean, that's like Mac Jones.
I don't get – I've heard some criticisms of Cliff Kingsbury actually about this, where he's maybe a little overrated as a play caller, and it's just like, yeah, maybe he is, because I don't see how you don't do more to get him out in space, to get Kyler Murray out in space, and to force defenses to actually play his speed. I don't know why, and kind of maybe I'm just wondering also about, you know, something to be said about your team peaking early, right, and not playing their best football heading into the postseason. And I think we've seen that a couple times this year, two years in a row with Kyler, wherever they're not playing their best football late in the season. And now we see the results.
Yeah. And I think I think all the teams except for your 49ers are the teams that should have won this game. I think that the Cowboys, and that's just not me being like a bitter Dallas fan. I think Dallas was the better team, and they just beat themselves. But I think for the most part, all the other teams, I mean, the teams that won look like they belonged. And next week is going to be, I think, a lot more competitive, presumably.
Hope so.
Yeah. I mean, divisional round, that's sort of how it works, is the better teams advance, as, you know, it's kind of the idea of the playoffs. So let's, you know what, let's just jump right into it. Let's make our picks and we'll, you know, get on our way.
Just to review, last week we both went 5-1 against the spread. So that's pretty impressive. I had the 49ers, you had the Cowboys, although you were hedging, you weren't feeling very confident about that pick.
No.
I think you were just picking because you wanted to not be rooting against against the Cowboys. And then I had the Raiders and you had the Bengals. I thought the Raiders would make it closer and they didn't. So either way, let's get right to it. We have in order the Bengals at the Titans. The Titans are -3.5. I have taken the Titans here. I am through underestimating them. I think the Bengals have a great chance of winning this game. And initially I had the Bengals written down, but it was just like, what do the Titans have to do for you to pick them? And I said, you know what? I'm going to pick them. And so I switched.
I am not, because the Bengals are getting points. And I think that their offense, they're, like I said, you know, reviewing the game against the Raiders, they're playing with house money. So I'm going to take the Bengals and take 3.5 points. I think that
the Titans are playing with house money too.
I guess, yeah, but you're still the number one seed, so there is an expectation.
Yeah. All right. So you got the Bengals, I've got the Titans.
Yeah.
49ers at Packers. I just want to take a minute here. listen, I struggled with this pick because in my mind, the Packers have been the best team in the NFL. And I've said that like since like week 4. They've been the best team in the NFL.
Yeah.
I think the 49ers have some mojo, something going on where they have a chance to get a win. And It's hard, but I'm just going to roll with my Niners here. I'm maybe not the most objective pick in the world. I like the way they're playing. They've beaten the Packers in the postseason last four times. 49ers run the ball, have innovative playmaking. If they can minimize the mistakes, I think they have a great chance to make this close, if not win. They only lost by 2 points in the regular season.
Yeah. I'm going to take the Packers because, you know, the 49ers are kind of that hot team right now, but Aaron Rodgers is just a man on a mission. And the 49ers, I feel like there's still some, you know, Aaron Rodgers is one of those guys where he'll create things to be angry about. And he kind of just, you know, the 49ers not picking him first, taking Alex Smith in the 05 draft. I think that could come up. And there's no Raheem Mostert in this game, who, if you remember, two years ago, was just obliterated the Packers single-handedly. I don't think it's the same Packers. And it's at Lambeau, and there's crowds. I think the Packers are going to come out and try to make a statement against the 49ers. I don't think it's going to be easy, but I think it's going to be by about a touchdown. So I'll take the Packers -5.5.
All right. Maybe the game of the week here. They're all really great games. Bills at the Chiefs. Chiefs -2.5. I'll let you go first on this one.
I'm going to take the Chiefs because, I think that towards the end of the season, while the Bills looked exceptional this past weekend, so did the Chiefs. Yeah. And, you know, I think the Steelers defense is better than the Patriots defense for the most part. Although I don't know if I have any stats to back that up, but just from the eye test alone. Mm-hmm. And the Chiefs just offensively and defensively, and with the emergence of Jerick McKinnon, Andy Reid, I believe in Andy Reid more than I believe in Sean McDermott. And so I think that the Chiefs find a way. And, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, Josh Allen is great, but Patrick Mahomes is as great, if not better. You know, so I think that there's the skill set on both sides of the ball, I think, favors the Chiefs slightly. You know, defensively, maybe you can make a better argument, but offensively, I think the Chiefs have more firepower and they have easier access to that firepower.
Yeah, I agree. I'm taking the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are just a more complete team, top to bottom. And it was nice to kind of see their kind of like you're seeing Tyreek Hill get involved last week. You're seeing Travis Kelce get. It's like kind of felt like, oh, this is the Chiefs that we remembered from a while. And it felt like there was a whole half of a season where we just didn't see those Chiefs out there. Yep. So, give me the Chiefs. I think they're playing their best football right now. Yeah. And our last game, Rams at Tampa Bay, Tampa Bay -3. I struggled with this.
Yes, this is the hardest one of the week.
I'm going to just say I think the Rams are the better team here. I picked the Rams to go to the Super Bowl, although if the Rams somehow face the 49ers when the Rams win, I might have to rethink that pick. But I picked the Rams to go to the Super Bowl this year. I think they're going to win. I'm taking the Rams here. I hate to bet against Tampa Bay. I just think the Rams are an overall better team. They beat the Tampa Bay during the regular season. I expect the Rams to play a great game.
Yeah, I think, you know, this was really tough because I don't like betting against Tom Brady. And, you know, Matt Stafford is sort of an unproven commodity in the playoffs outside of his first win like this last week. But, you know, the Rams defense, I think, is going to give Tom Brady fits. And I think that the Rams offense is going to take advantage of some of the injuries and that kind of mishmashed secondary of the Bucks that we haven't seen kind of be an incomplete unit the entire year. So I'm going to take the Rams, and mostly because they're getting 3 points. I think that might, you know, play a role into it too, because then they can play the underdog card. And they should be the better team here. I don't know that it's going to happen that way, but I think that, you know, if both teams play at their best, I think the Rams have more firepower than the Bucks do.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think it's, they all completely agree with you on all points. The one thing I worry about is the Tom Brady X factor, where it's just, you know, if they're down four with seven, you know, with a minute left, Tom Brady's got the ball, game over, you know? And so that's the only thing I worry about. All right. Yep. So our picks are in. I've got the Titans. You've got the Bengals. I have the 49ers. You have the Packers, and we're the same everywhere else. So we'll see how this goes.
Yeah, come down to the wire. All right. So that's going to do it. This has been the Benchwarmers Podcast, Season 2, Episode 36. One more time, go and listen to all of our previous shows, iHeartRadio, Amazon, Odyssey, Anchor, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Come follow along, rate, review. We need all the support we can get. And so we'll see you next week. So for Jose Ortiz, I'm Lou Ruggieri, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.